Welcome. Thank you all. Thank you all for being here this morning to share the Dharma. Today we are in Zazenkai, our all-day sitting, or we can call it a one-day session. For one whole day, we return to silence and immerse ourselves in Zazen. As Atanto pointed out this morning, it's a very fortunate opportunity. This separating ourselves from the world is a monkish practice. One teacher said that if you sit Zazen for a month, you are for 1 month a monk or nun. If you sit Zazen for a week, you are for 1 week a monk or nun. If you sit Zazen for an hour, you are for 1 hour a monk or a nun. So for today, we are nuns and monks in our monastic practice. The koans deal with exchanges among Zen practitioners, teachers, students, almost all of whom are monks or nuns, living in communities separate from the world at large. And yet, if we view them properly, working with them in our lay practice, they can have an enormous impact on our lives and the world, helping us to let go of our attachments to the separate, illusory self, the root cause of all our suffering. This morning we will take up case number 48 in the Wu Men Guan, Ganfeng's One Road. The case reads, a monk asked Ganfeng, the Bhagavats of the Ten Directions have one straight road to nirvana. I wonder where that road is. Ganfeng lifted up his staff, drew a line in the air, and said, here it is. Later, a monk asked Yunmen about this. Yunmen held up his fan and said, this fan leaps up to the 33rd heaven and hits the nose of the deity Sakradevendra. Give a carp of the eastern sea one blow, and the rain comes down in torrents. A side note, Sakradevendra is Indra, the king of the gods and the lord of heaven in Hindu mythology. Wu Men's commentary. One goes to the bottom of the deepest sea and raises a cloud of sand and dust. The other goes to the top of the highest mountain and raises foaming waves that spread over the entire sky. Holding fast, letting go, each using only one hand, sustains the teaching of Zen. They are just like two children running from opposite directions who crash into each other. In this world, there is almost no one who can touch the true essence. From the point of view of the absolute I, even these two ancient worthies do not know where the road is. Wu Men's verse. Before you take a step, you are already there. Before your tongue has moved, your tesho is finished. Though your every step is ahead of the last, you must remember the vast, all-encompassing crater. This is the last koan in the collection, the Wu Men Guan. We don't know much about Master Kanfeng. His Japanese name is Kenpo. He was a Dharma heir of Dongshan, that's Tozan. So he was of the same generation as Shui Feng and Yen To. Those are Seppo and Ganto. This puts him somewhere around the mid-800s of the Common Era, although we don't have the exact dates of his life. But he was part of the Cao Tong, the Soto lineage, that traditionally leads to Ru Jing and Dogen. Yunmen, in Japanese is Unmon, his dates are 864 to 949 of the Common Era, and he is, of course, far better known. He is a Dharma heir of Shui Feng, along with his Dharma brothers, Zhang Qing, that's Chokei, and Xuan Sha, it's Gensha, and a cousin of Ru Yen, Zuigan. Yun Men would be a generation or so later than Kanfeng. All this, of course, is somewhat speculative. More and more, recent scholarship has thrown considerable doubt on the literal accuracy of our lineage and on the historicity of the koans from the Tang Dynasty. However, as Robert Aitken Roshi has put it, the koans are the folk literature of our tradition. And like most folklore, they're not to be taken literally any more than Aesop's fables. But while Aesop's fables may contain important moral lessons, the koans point us beyond concepts of good and evil, self, other, directly to our nature. A monk asked Kanfeng, "The Bhagavats of the Ten Directions have one straight road to nirvana. I wonder where that road is." As is almost always the case, we are told nothing at all about this monk. But he is evidently educated in doctrine. This phrase, "the Bhagavats of the Ten Directions have one straight road to nirvana," is a quote from the Surangama Sutra. And our monk uses this to challenge the teacher, something that patch-robed monks are supposed to do at every opportunity in ancient China. So one can speculate that this is a practitioner of some experience and some knowledge and of some courage. And the question is always a legitimate one. The Bhagavats of the Ten Directions have one straight road to nirvana. I wonder where that road is. Bhagavats, holy ones, Buddhas. From the very beginning, all beings are by nature Buddha, says Master Hakuin. The Buddhas of the Ten Directions, all Buddhas everywhere, past, present, future, we just chanted. The Bhagavats of the Ten Directions, just another way of saying the universe, everything, absolutely everything, including us. Nothing separate or outside, all that breathes and does not breathe. And they all have just one straight road to nirvana, realization, enlightenment. Where is that one road? All things return to the one. Where is that one? What is Buddha? What is the first principle? What is the way? What is the meaning of Bodhidharma coming from the West? This is our practice. It's about realizing our own Buddha nature and the Buddha nature of all beings, animate and inanimate. All our practice, all our striving with mu, the breath, is centered on that question. And yet how foolish we are. All Buddhas, everything, the universe has this one way, is this one way. And here we sit, wondering, where is my nose? A monk asked Kanfeng, the Bhagavats of the Ten Directions have one straight road to nirvana. I wonder where that road is. Kanfeng lifted up his staff, drew a line in the air, and said, here it is. How many times has the question been asked? How many times has it been answered? And in how many ways? Once when the Buddha was asked, not for words nor for no words, he sat silently. When Feng Shui was asked, not for words or for silence, he recited a poem. Zhao Zhou said, the oak tree in the garden. And so it goes. Question and answer, question and answer. There are as many ways of asking the question as there are those who ask. There are as many answers as there are those who answer. Kanfeng has a stick. Yunmen has a fan. Are their answers the same or are they different? What is your one straight road? Can you show me that road? Right now. Kanfeng answers directly. Here is. There is nothing outside this mind. This here, now mind. Not in time, not in space. This mind is the infinite here. The eternal now. Here it is. Here's your tea. Here's the pain in your back. The cramp in your foot. Is there a message for us here in Sesshin or in Zazenkai? Here it is. You already are. You are already here. Nowhere to go. Nothing to do. Nothing to be. But is this perhaps still too much? When we attach to words, it is quite possible that the words we speak are true words, but they are not the truth. With his, here it is, Kanfeng presents the truth. And in doing so, he puts me to shame. In that, here it is there self or other, being or non-being, good or evil, question or answer? One might suppose that Kanfeng is saying that it is right here. The one road to nirvana is none other than right here and now. But please be careful. Koans are not about practice. They are not advice about practice. They are the living truth, Buddha nature, whatever you care to name the unnameable. Here it is. As opposed, is it here as opposed to what? There? Don't get lost in speculations or explanations. Here it is whole and complete. Drawing a line is whole and complete. Doing both is whole and complete. Little kids will sometimes latch onto a word or a phrase and recite it over and over and over until it loses all meaning. The word is just a noise, and the child disappears into the noise. And child, noise, the making of noise and words are not separate. Of course, it drives the adults crazy. But we do the same thing. We breathe mu over and over. Ultimately, we disappear into mu. And you and I are not separate. And mu, we never were. Did the monk get it? Who knows? But apparently the story got around. Because later, another monk asks Yunmen about the case. Yunmen held up his fan and said, "This fan leaps up to the 33rd heaven and hits the nose of the deity Sakradevendra. Give a carp of the eastern sea one blow, and the rain comes down in torrents." My, oh my. Yunmen waxes positively loquacious. Whatever happened to the Yunmen we all know and love? Shitstick! Grits! You rice bag! Rawr. If Gan Feng is a bit stingy with his teaching, Yunmen is uncharacteristically generous. Gan Feng is totally self-contained. Yunmen explodes in your face. What is Yunmen about here? His fan leaps up to the 33rd heaven and hits Indra on the nose. Is Yunmen engaging in myth here? Fantasy? Dogen writes, "Green mountains, master walking, and eastern mountains, master traveling on water. Accordingly, these activities are a mountain's practice. Keeping its own form, without changing body and mind, a mountain always practices every place." What is it for a mountain to master walking? What is it for Yunmen's fan to master flying? The fan masters flying, keeping its own form. A fan always practices every place. If you think of mountains walking or fans flying in narrow terms, you are trapped, lost. Dogen continues, "Even if you see mountains as grass, trees, earth, rocks, or walls, do not take this seriously or worry about it. It is not complete realization. Even if there is a moment when you view mountains as the seven treasures shining, this is not returning to the source. Even if you understand mountains as the realm where all Buddhas practice, this understanding is not something to be attached to. Even if you have the highest understanding of mountains as all Buddha's inconceivable qualities, the truth is not only this. These are conditioned views. This is not the understanding of Buddha ancestors, but just looking through a bamboo tube at a corner of the sky." Dogen takes away everything. Every thought, every no thought, every idea, every non-idea, every belief, every unbelief. Holding to even the most exalted thoughts, the most profound insights, is holding to narrow views. The hardest thing to do is to give up every scintilla of intellectual understanding that we habitually rely on, and give up even no understanding. This applies equally to Dogen's mountains, Ganfeng's stick, and Yunmen's fan, and to this cup of water. This is our practice in retreat, in Zazenkai or Seshin, giving up, and ultimately to give up giving up, to let go of letting go, to forget forgetting, to die the great death and let go even of that. It's a continuous process. The practice continues endlessly. The stone woman gives birth to a child in the night. The iron tree blossoms. Mountains walk, and Yunmen's fan leaps up to heaven. Give a carp of the eastern sea one blow, and the rain comes down in torrents. This is where we get into the iconography of Chinese Buddhism. The carp is revered as the true practitioner. It swims upstream, struggling against the currents and the rapids, until at last, after long and difficult effort, it reaches the top, the headwaters. There it turns into the heavenly dragon of full enlightenment, the dragon who spreads the rain and thunder of the Dharma. Or more accurately, it realizes that it has been the dragon from the very beginning. For the one who is ready, who has practiced long and hard over many lifetimes, it takes only one blow of Kanfeng's stick or of Yunmen's fan to bring about the thundering realization of one's true self, that one has always been and always will be. Wu Men's commentary. One goes to the bottom of the deepest sea and raises a cloud of sand and dust. The other goes to the top of the highest mountain and raises foaming waves that spread over the entire sky. Holding fast, letting go, each using only one hand sustains the teaching of Zen. They are just like two children running from opposite directions who crash into each other. In this world, there is almost no one who can touch the true essence. From the point of view of the absolute I, even these two ancient worthies do not know where the road is. Where is the bottom of the sea? Where is the top of the highest mountain? What is it to raise a cloud of sand and dust, or to raise foaming waves? Today, each one of us sits alone on the diamond seat of our Zazen. Later, we will go back into our daily lives. But don't be fooled. These are not separate. Don't get caught in notions of one way as opposed to the 10,000 things. The most furious activity in the world is not separate from the one way. The deepest quiescence is not separate from the 10,000 things. Keeping its own form without changing body and mind, a mountain always practices every place. Keeping our own form without changing body and mind, each one of us always practices every place. Be aware of this practice every place. From the point of view of the absolute I, even these two ancient worthies do not know where the road is. No, they don't. You don't know where this road is. I don't know. The Buddha doesn't know and never will. And yet each moment we walk this road. It is an act not of knowledge, but of faith, which is a kind of knowing that goes beyond knowing and not knowing. It is the knowing of the tree spreading its leaves, the knowing of the rain as it falls, the knowing of a child's laughter. Chertow says, if you do not see the way, you do not see it, even as you walk on it. When you walk the way, it is not near, it is not far. Umen's verse. Before you take a step, you are already there. Before your tongue has moved, your tesho is finished. Though your every step is ahead of the last, you must remember the vast, all-encompassing crater. Wu Men insisted that the cases of the Wu Men Guan were not arranged in any particular order. But this last verse sounds to me very much like a farewell. Before you take a step, you are already there. Before your tongue has moved, your tesho is finished. Time is something that we create along with everything else. It's just another empty phenomenon. There is nothing behind it. Past and future are creations that we use to separate ourselves from the eternal now. Don't get hung up on notions of before and after, now and then, here and there. There is nowhere to go, no when to be. All moments are this moment. All places are this place. Though your every step is ahead of the last, you must remember the vast, all-encompassing crater. We take breath after breath, mu after mu. Every step is necessary. Each breath is necessary. Each mu is necessary. We are always touching the essence. We always are the essence. We just don't know it fully. But with each breath, each mu, each one, we get a little closer. A little more stuff is let go. And at some point, we see clearly the abyss. And that is when we can let go or hold and leap. And there we are. And then what? We go back to our step-by-step practice along the edge of the abyss. And again, we take that leap. And we do it again and again and again. There is no end to it. And that's okay. Just sit. Just do zazen. You do it by doing it, not by thinking about it, speculating about it, talking about it. Just do it. And you know what? Here it is. Together with all beings, we realize Buddhahood.